Marcus Sahaba, the voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jamaah.
Assalamu alaikum warahmatullahi wabarakatuh. Respected listeners of Marcus Sahaba, the voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jamaah, we welcome you to this program. And this is the interview segment of our spiritual breakfast. And the date today is the 3rd of Dhul Qadah, 1446. Let's welcome Mufti Muhammad Akusab, Hafidhullah. Mufti Sahab, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Jazakumullah khairan wa zahid shab. Barakallahu fiikum.
Jazakumullah khairan for joining us, Mufti Sahab.
Jazakumullah for the opportunity. Jazakumullah for the opportunity. Allah accept us for his peace.
Ameen, ameen. Mufti Sahab, Mufti AK was mentioning the other day when he was there, the Ijtima last week, the first thing he met was yourself, Mufti Sahab, and then your...
Yeah, what a name it was. Allah blessed me that I was right there. Mufti Sahab was entering and Allah gave me the opportunity to meet him. It was so nice to meet him, alhamdulillah.
MashaAllah. So, alhamdulillah. How was your stay at the Ijtima?
Oh, experience? It was amazing, man. Yeah, Allah, it was amazing. And just seeing how our brothers, man, how the Saatis went out of their way. Yeah, Allah. Preparing the Maidan is so difficult. Then there wasn't a site available because there was some cancellation. I don't know the whole details. But then this site was available last minute. And the brothers night and day working there. Then there was rain the previous week. And Allahu Akbar, then they got the site. And they had a jamaat in tilawat of the Quran and zikrullah constant night and day. But Allah, you help us. SubhanAllah, how Allah Ta'ala made the weather so conducive. SubhanAllah, as you arrived there, there was a beautiful walk from where you had to park and towards the Ijtima Ghat. It was such an amazing walk. They had shuttles, but they tried their best. You know, SubhanAllah, and you get two types of people. One is the one who will complain, why is it like this? Why is it dusty? The other is a positive person to say, what an opportunity. As we were walking, that I went to fetch someone who was also arriving at the Ijtima. He was a revert and he was far there. So as we were walking that walk, it was quite a lovely walk. And there's so many people walking towards the Gah, the Ijtima Gah. And everyone is so motivated. And you just greet them with salam. This is such a beautiful sunnah. Just greet people with salam and such amazing conversations start. SubhanAllah. We met some revert. We met brothers from way and way in the world. One man said that I just saw, I was leaving for the Ijtima, I was in the taxi, I couldn't find it, and I saw the brothers with the kurta and the topi or the imama, and that's what motivated me to ask the taxi to stop, and he gets off. And one of the brothers with me helped him carry his stuff, because he had quite a bit of stuff. A brother from Malawi living in Johannesburg, but he came for the Ijtima from way and way people came, ya Allah. And as we were walking, one youngster just greeting him, how are you, my friend? Assalamu alaikum, what's your name? And he gives his name. He says, you know how I came to this Ijtima? I wasn't coming. And how Allah Ta'ala put it in my heart. And Allah accepted me. And they're so happy. So walking towards the Ijtima, the first walk was so amazing. Alhamdulillah, the feel. And you get there to the Ijtima Gah. And subhanAllah, there's people there with their tables greeting you. Assalamu alaikum, welcome, welcome. Trying to make everybody the ikram. Irrespective of color, race, nationality, background. They don't question you. They don't, why you came here? Oh, you lost your way. What do you think this place is? Nothing like that. Welcome, welcome. It is too special. Mm. And the tents, alhamdulillah. But they were working so hard that some of the tents were just, they were just finishing off still on the first day due to it almost being, abundantly rained. But subhanAllah, Allah has been. And we should never say Allah's help comes late. I heard this from a revered brother. He said, Allah Ta'ala comes always at the right time. Allah doesn't come. Allah's help comes at the right time. Allah Ta'ala wants to teach us and make our tarbiyah like how the Sahaba did. They learned from Janabi Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Hazrat Hudayfa al-Hadith radiallahu anhu. Kana al-Nabiyyu sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, idha hazabahu amrun baza'a ila salah. Allah's beloved sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, whenever any situation overwhelms him and startles him, he hastens and he rushes towards Salah. And we see this in the life of Sahaba radiallahu anhu. Any situation, they talk to Allah. They put their head down, they talk to Allah. Sometimes one is in such pain or difficulty, and just with the heart, talk to Allah. Verbally, talk to Allah. Any situation, subhanAllah. And that's what we saw there. how in such a short span they did it. The brothers did it, ya Allah. Allah bless them. Allah bless them. Allah give us tawfiq to value each other. Really, the different sections of the ijtima, and it's all marked. You're from this area, this is where you stay. And subhanAllah, there's people just scouting there, seeing if everybody is okay, anybody needs help. There's a section in the ijtima. If anybody is not well, you go there. There's doctors who love the deen. They just come there and offer their services. Allah bless the ummah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. See, as when I was walking towards the ijtima, ya Allah, I'm just thinking, ya Allah, there is Nabi ki ummat. Your beloved sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's ummat is so special, ya Allah. Your beloved sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's ummat is so special. What a ummat. All these people from all walks of life. Not far from where I was parked, there was some match going on. So those people going in, I was telling them, you see all these tents there. See, yeah, what is going on? And I was telling them, this is the ijtima. And I'm telling them, what does the adhan mean? You see, we're amazed. We get so happy when we hear the adhan. Explain to us what it means. And we would explain to them, subhanAllah. Few of them were reavers. They say, oh, we also want to come. And alhamdulillah, they came for the ijtima. Like that. So yesterday I was talking to a brother. I'm telling him, see, you work at this garage, not far from this masjid. And you hear this call. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. He says, yes, yes. Do you know what it means? And in my own broken Zulu, I try and explain to him. And Allah is the greatest. Allah is the greatest. Allah has no partner. Allah is one. And so forth. And so forth. And Allah made everyone. Allah made everything. So in that, I'm asking him, that you know Allah made every single thing. Then he, in his own mind, is asking me, but you say God made everything. What about the car? So I'm just thinking, so innocent of the man that he asked this question. So I'm telling him, you see, who gave man the brain and the ability and the capability to make the car? He said, oh yeah, yeah, yeah. So all it is to channel the minds of people. And when we see the lives of Sahaba radiallahu anhu, I'm just analyzing the Sahabi Hazrat Nu'man bin Muqarrin and his satis, there were 14 of them. How they gave da'wah to the Persian emperor was so amazing. This is what they're telling the emperor. We are here, not because we wanted to come. Allah has sent us to you. What do you all want here? You all are downtrodden people. You all were backward, a backward nation. We can sort you all out very, very easily. You all have no authority over us. And you all are scums. What do you all want here? And they were insulting the Sahaba radiallahu anhu. The Sahaba did not insult. That we want success for you. We want salvation for you. And how beautifully Hazrat Nu'man bin Muqarrin radiallahu anhu explains this to the emperor was so phenomenal. Then he tells him that you see, we don't mind dying. We want to give our life for Allah. We come here for the afterlife. Whatever you have here is a worldly thing. And subhanAllah, this Mubarak work of Dawat teaches us that. That don't actually prioritize the valuable things of this world, but prioritize the value of the afterlife. That the real structure is the structure of the afterlife. وَإِنَّ الدَّارَ الْآخِرَةِ لَهِيَ الْحَيَوَانِ The true life is the life of Akhirah. So basically, the ijtima was about that. One of the Fajrs, I'm waiting in the queue. And it was so special. Alhamdulillah. There's a wudu khana. Brothers put portable wudu khana as toilets. Sadly, today people will go camps. And then they want to go through, you know, that little experience. They look at it. Ijtima is more enjoyable than that. The brothers made tuck shops available. Whatever you want to find, whether it's Islamic wear, something you want to get for your family, is available there. Just to cater. Look at the intention. So beautiful. So that people shouldn't leave the ijtima. If people are comfortable having their comfortable luxury foods, it's there. You're looking for a cup of tea, it's there. Whatever you're looking for, even better than the stores. They make it there with heart. And every person working there doesn't get paid a cent. Where can you find such an amazing endeavor? And subhanAllah, when you go to the bazaar to get something also, there's brothers coming there to meet you, remind you. You know, if you read Fat Kalima, they're teaching you in the bazaar of the ijtima. So that in the bazaar, هذا البدعه the real one. You can also remember, they come and remind you the hadith of Tirmidhi, حضرت عمر الحديث رضي الله عنه, if you read لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له, له الملك وله الحمد, يحيي ويميت وهو حي لا يموت, بيده الخير وهو على كل شيء قدير. For this one ذكر الله, Allah will give you a million good deeds. كتب له ألف ألف حسنة. Allah will forgive you a million sins. Allah will raise you a million ranks. And Allah guarantees you a palace in paradise. A palace in paradise. Just for what's astonishing about this hadith is you get so much of reward to read this anywhere in the world. But Hazrat Umar's hadith expresses this reward for reading this in the bazaar. The reason being is in the bazaar, in the market, in the corporate world, where a person sees himself doing, striking deals, earning the millions, checking the the rate, this, that, so much of Allah forgive us. And we forget to say this. So the value of this is when a person takes out time from what is ephemeral towards his purpose and his goal, and he makes Allah happy, and in that environment makes the dhikr, and in that environment makes the dawat, subhanallah, you get such rewards. The rewards, Allah multiplies it. A million, a million, a million, and a palace in paradise. What a deal! What an amazing deal! What a profitable deal! The Sahaba, Abdullah bin Umar, he used to take his students, take Abu Tufail, come. And every person in the market used to make salam. This alhamdulillah comes alive. Man. Just meet people, just salam. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. And we learn and we encourage to make salam first. Even the time of salah, it's such an amazing feeling. So many people performing salah. And they remind you before salah, how should the pants be? How should our salah be? How should our concentration be? Our phones should be switched off. Don't vibrate our salah. It is our communion with Allah. Connect that frequency with Allah. Every aspect is tarbiyat. And the environment, people from every walks of life. We were waiting in the queue. There was a man in front of me. 1 foot, which is, crutches. He gets to the seat there. And I'm telling him, Sheikh, please make dua for me. I'm so amazed. You put us to shame. You came for the ijtima. This man looks at me with tears in his eyes. And he says, you make dua that I die with iman. I was amazed. I tell you, this is what the ijtima is about. The bayans are inspirational. But meeting the ummah of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was so, so special. How special is the ummah of the beloved Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam? Imagine a man is one. And I'm saying, Sheikh, what do you do? He says, no, I teach people Islam. Give me his area. This, that. Where you learned? He says, Sheikh Sima. I say, amazing. I hug him. I say, that is my Sheikh. That is my Ustaz. Rahimahullah. What an amazing moment Allah gave us. But what's amazing about the ijtima is every aspect of it. That's why it's a few days. Why? So that we can benefit from every aspect. Those that come for the little while, take something and go. But those that come for a little more, you get a little more. That jolly barna, that Allah fills that. But you experience every part of it. That, and subhanAllah, what can I say? It was just amazing. Really, really enjoyed it. Alhamdulillah. I remember Maulana Ismail Sahib's Hafizullah's one lecture, because we had a very senior alim in Newcastle, Hazrat Maulana Musa Al-Hatiya Sahib Rahmatullahi. He's a wonderful son. Hazrat Mufti Sahib teaches here, one of the senior ustaz here in Darul Uloom. But Hazrat Maulana Musa Al-Hatiya Sahib Rahmatullahi, very senior alim in our area, himself and Hazrat Maulana Ismail Sahib studied together in Anand. So it was very interesting to hear one of Maulana Ismail Sahib's Karguzaris, where he mentioned that he was in Madrasa and Hazrat Maulana Umar Palanpuri Rahmatullah Ali, what a scholar, erudite, brilliant, exceptional. And he would stop at all the Madaris and visit the students of Deen and encourage the students to learn Deen properly so that we can be reformed and take the Deen and make it available to humanity. But this one Karguzari he gave, he's saying, oh respected students, I just returned now from Misr. And I was walking in the path of Allah, and few Misri Arab young men joined me, and we're making dash. What a beautiful work to walk for Allah, to meet a brother for Allah, to go to the masjid, to connect people to Allah, and be connected to Allah. وَرَبَّكَ فَكَبْتُمُ اللَّيْلَ إِلَّا قَلِيلًا نِصْفَهُ أَوْ انْقُصْ مِنْهُ قَلِيلًا أَوْ زِدْ عَلَيْهِ وَرَتِّلِ الْقُرْآنَ إِنَّ لَكَ فِي النَّهَارِ سَبْحًا طَوِيلًا وَاذْكُرِ اسْمَ رَبِّكَ وَتَبَتَّلْ إِلَيْهِ تَبْتِيلًا تَبَتُّلْ and تَبْتِيلْ. You yourself connect to Allah and simultaneously connect humanity to Allah. Like the ulama kiram teach so beautifully, agar hum da'i nahi honge to mad'u banek. What a beautiful statement and usul of life. If we are not da'i, we will definitely become mad'u. If we don't invite humanity to Allah, we will be affected by the invitation of the forces of batil that is taking place constantly, consistently. Respected Ummah, respected parents, respected young, respected revered elderly, respected wonderful, aged, valuable people of this Ummah, every one of us need to invite to Allah. Said as we were walking, there was someone, you could see he was of a different faith. He approached one of the youngsters who was walking ahead of me, and he gave him something. That youngster put it in his pocket, and it finished off there. When we get to our destination, the next masjid, I ask that young man, what happened there? Are you a shab? What happened there? So he said, no, it was an invite. He invited me. But give me the details. He says, no, they have this program every few weeks where they invite us for a meal. And so he says, who does it? He says, it's a Christian organization. They invite us for a meal, and they show a show on Christ and this and that. But when you get there to that hall, which is like a church, then next to you already, they arranged 50 young men are invited and 50 girls, young girls, Christian girls, are made to sit next to you. And these girls are motivated to win people over to Christianity by any means possible. So they're given guidelines that if this boy... Because now when there's a certain thing they show on the show is actually sometimes loose, and it's to arouse the desires of the youth. So as he wants to talk to or build a bond with the girl next to him, she's encouraged and taught and programmed to succumb and accept. And when she does this, he'll want to make a date with her. And in that, if he tries to make contact with her within the next few weeks until the next program, she is told to comply. And if he's head over heels for her, because, you know, him now being a Muslim, he won't want to, he won't want to wed. That's why our ulama warned us about the dangers of banning a Christian. What happened? What will happen to the children? And then is the Ahlul Kitab today that the Ahlul Kitab of the past? Oh, Ulama. And that was the advice of Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu to Hazrat Khalifa radiallahu anhu. Anyway, now some are lax in this. So what happens is, if he wants to, then she is programmed to say, let's go speak to the priest. And they go to the priest, and the priest will analyze the situation. And if this boy is head over heels, and he is really, really taken aback by this girl's style and influences, and he's prepared to do anything to wed her, she will agree, but he must accept to become Christian. And when the priest tells him that, and he agrees, then he'll do a wedding for them. He'll arrange their marriage. And if not, and the boy is not prepared to forsake his iman and his faith, then the priest is programmed to say, no, we won't be able to get you married now. We'll see in the later stages until this boy is like basically finished. And he is prepared to do anything for her. This is how one of the agendas that they used to spread falsehood and this incorrect ideology in our Muslim communities, in the Muslim countries. Like that, thousands of people lost their iman. Like, sadly, you won't believe it. It was a verse in the Bible in Genesis 9 about Hazrat Nuh alayhi salam. It's a lie against Hazrat Nuh alayhi salam that in the 15th century, the Europeans used that verse in the Bible to enslave the African people. They say, no, Noah cursed Canaan's offspring, and the Africans are the offspring of Canaan, and they are inferior and they are slaves. Imagine, the religion portrayed this. They used it as an agenda for their towards their politics and policies. Allah save us. So basically, how important it is to make the effort of Iman. This is why we go out in the path of Allah. We have to spend time in Allah's way, in the company of the pious. Sit for the mashura. Sit for the fikr. Join the gush. Sit. Shaitan will put it in our brain. Oh, what will they say if I sit there? Brother, if you look down your own forefathers, somebody and somebody came into being because somebody made effort. Somebody and somebody went to learn Allah's deen because somebody knocked our doors. So it's such a beautiful thing, but Shaitan will put whisperings in our brain. True shayateen and true insan. Some insans will comment, oh, now you're trying to act too pious. We're just hearing from Dr. Saab also about one youngster, Bilal Bux, a youngster, ya Allah, what his life was involved in and how involved in every sort of thing, but 3 days in the path of Allah changed him. How he went in Allah's way, how he would make khidmat of the jamaats, how he went 4 months in Allah's way, how he changed. Subhanallah. And Allahu Akbar, that 17 years ago, he passed away in the path of Allah. But a youngster, how he changed, how many people changed their lives through him. And there was an amazing incident. Dr. Saab was telling us that when his mother passed away last year, she was making dua, she made the khatam of the Quran, she made dua, she passed away. They wanted to bury his mother in the same grave, and his body was, mashallah, totally intact. So respected youth, this is a beautiful thing. Join the work of Allah's deen. Sit in the mashura. Think about Allah's deen. Talk about Allah's deen. Invite to Allah, otherwise we will be invited. We will be invited. Allah give us tawfiq. This is the month of Dhul Qa'dah. We are arriving towards the Hajj season. And what opportunities Allah gives us always to be geared up for opportunities for Allah. Let's increase in our tilawat of the Quran. Let's increase in sharing Islam with every person. Wherever we're going in the world, whether it's a meeting, whether it's gathering, invite to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And let's unite with family. Meet up with family. Meet people for Allah. And meet your family for Allah. Mm. On the weekends, when there's chance, meet your uncle. Go meet your grandfather. Go visit your cousins. And so forth. Keep this family bond. Because slowly, slowly, due to the love and the ambition of the acquisition of this worldly, ephemeral life, we want that other kind of lifestyle as portrayed through all these media agencies. That lifestyle we want, we forget the beautiful things that happen around us, especially in joining family ties. The reward of joining family ties is phenomenal, phenomenal. So Allah give us tawfiq to join, to ask for maaf, to unite with our siblings. And make salam. Salam to each other. Make salam to family. Be the first to make salam. And don't let small, small issues disunite us. But now, because of your brother's wife saying something to your wife, now you can't even visit your brother. No, man, you can't let these things. That is shaitan making one say that. Maybe they said it in a circumstance. Maybe they were just irritable at that moment. Overlook things. Unite for Allah. Allah becomes happy. Allah give us tawfiq. Ya Rabbi, salli wa sallim دائما أبدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم يا رب بالمصطفى بلغ مقاصدنا واغفر لنا ما مضى يا واسع الكرم وصلى الله على النبي الأمي برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين.
Jazakumullah khairan to Mufti Saab for that message and the wonderful advices. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Assalamu alaikum.
Marcus Sahaba, the voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jamaah.